here we go this morning, and we want to continue in our series that we began last week, where we were kicking it off from Peter. And I'll read the scripture there. We're going to go through a lot of text this morning. Am I on? I'm not on. Am I on? There we go. Okay. I'm on. Come on. Here we go. So we want to continue in our series this morning. And as we're talking about second nature, those intuitives that have now come into our lives, that as much as we, you know, we've become so accustomed to doing things in our lives, and we say, well, I do that by nature, it's second nature to me to do whatever. And we spoke about that. We spoke about it in terms of the thought, you know, we don't think about breathing. We don't take thought about breathing. It's second nature to me. I mean, if you start thinking about it, you know, you might be a little worried, am I going to stop breathing? But no, we don't do that sort of thing. It's a part of living in life. And we talked about it, transferring that into the nature that has been given to us by a gift, by God's grace, and being born again. So that I have Christ coming into my life, I have been given a born-again nature. And with that born-again nature, in as much as there are by nature things that I do, I eat by nature, right? You with me there? I have an appetite by nature. And it's a pretty good appetite. I've been noticing, I think I mentioned, I went to the doctor. I had lost some weight by my doctor's advice, got down to 195. My last physical, I'm up to 203. As of a couple days ago, I'm 205, and going back up again, because my appetite is so dang good. I'm telling you, it's just good. And so I, you know, got to watch it. But that, you know, that's by nature. We have those things. Well, in the same way, our spiritual lives and coming to life in Christ, that He is there in our lives, and we've come alive to Him, and I have been given a new nature in Him. There are, in the same way, now things that come along with that new nature that are just as automatic as in my physical life. You got it? And Peter attests to that. This is our kickoff verse where he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, where he says, now that you have cleaned up your lives, I'm reading this from the Message. I love this. Now that you have cleaned up your lives by following the truth. He says, love one another as if your life depended on it, which is pretty cool. And then he says, and this is what we're after, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from you know, natural means. He says, but your new birth comes from God's living word. He says that has been that you've been conceived in and lives within you. And so he's talking about that whole idea of being born again. And with that, I have come alive to God. He has come alive to me. I know Him. And by that new birth, there are now things that I do that I want to do. See, not that I have to do. It's not as though the Ten Commandments hang over me. And, you know, I'm now a religious type of person. You know, I got a checklist of things that I got to do. No. Person who comes to Christ now has this, wow, even bigger, better than I want to, I get to. Wow. I get to. I get to experience life. I get to come to know Christ. I get to live life from God's point of view. I get to. And that's the power of that life within us. And that unpacks in our lives and in a lot of different things that we're calling intuitives, that we're calling self-evident things, they become self-evident. We want to talk about three of them in particular. And what are the three? Anybody remember?
Giving.
Praying.
Suffering.
Oh, suffering. offering is one of those things that are part and parcel to the Christian life that I have to get a handle on as much as it is as normal to my life as breathing. Yeah, we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. Okay, we'll save that one for last. Maybe we'll do it next week. I'm really not going to tell you because I know you won't show up when we talk about that one. Nevertheless, we want to hit the first one today, which the title of this message is called The Blessed Life. The Blessed Life. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, statement is made there that says, it is more, everyone knows it, it is more blessed to what? To give than it is to receive. Let's say it again. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Wow, that's heavy duty. It's more what? Bless. And so that's the title of the message, The Blessed Life. To live blessed. The philosophers used to talk about it, continue to do, they talk about it in terms of living well. Well, to live well for us as Christians is to live blessed. Let's pray. Father, as we're about now to unfold this word, the text that we have read, the text that we shall continue, that we will open up in this message as we go, Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray that every one of us in this room would hear the voice of God speaking into our lives today. I pray in Christ's name that we give you thanks. Amen. And so, here we are this morning. I want to just talk about a country church, some country bumpkins who, no offense, especially those who may be listening to this on the internet, if you happen to live in Kentucky or West Virginia, no offense to you. But anyways, there are country bumpkins, right? I've met a few. But anyways, there was this country church, and during the summer, the preacher said, or during the sermon, the country preacher, his particular, country style, said, "Now let the church walk." And Deacon Jones said with a big amen, "Let the church walk, preacher, yes, let the church walk." And the preacher, not skipping in his cadence, went on, "Not only let the church walk, but let the church run, yes, let the church run." And Deacon Jones, joining right in with the preacher, that's how they do it in those churches, backed him up by saying, "Yes, preacher, let the church run, preacher, let the church run." Then the preacher said, "Let it fly, oh, let the church fly." The brother said, "Oh, yes, let the church fly." The preacher added, "Now, if it's going to fly, it's going to take your money, brother." Brother Jones piped up and said, "Oh, preacher, let it walk." And so as we're talking about giving this morning, I want to begin by making a disclaimer. And that is to say that in as much as giving now has become second nature for us as Christians, that we get to give. And I want to be giving. And we're going to talk about this in a moment, how that has come to be. I want to offer a disclaimer, and the disclaimer is this, that yes, you know, if the church is going to fly, it takes money. But I want to say a couple of things that's not behind, what's not lurking behind this message as I talk about giving this morning, okay? What's not lurking behind this message is that I'm putting out a plea, or we're putting out a plea, and saying, "Boy, you know what? We need your money. We need your money." No. You don't need your money. But, you know, it almost sounds weird. You know, when's the last time you heard a preacher say that? You know, we don't need your money. But it's the truth. And I think I have good biblical theological grounds to say that. I'm after something more than your money. But anyways, that's not what's behind this message. Also, what's not lurking behind this message is this kind of thing where, you know what, yeah, he's saying this, you're thinking, because he knows my giving record, perhaps, and he's about to put pressure on me or pressure on us to give. Nope, not true. First of all, I don't know your giving record, and there's no reason for me to put pressure on anyone. As far as I know, we're doing okay, right, Lucy? We're Mike, you folks, we're doing okay financially. And so there's no pressure, and there's no thought of, well, I know what's whatever. No. Nor is there looking behind this message. I think it has to be said, especially when you put it in those terms, the blessed life. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. How there are those who have, misconstrued that whole area, this whole area of giving, to suggest that, God will make you rich if, in fact, you give. And no, that's not in this. That, in fact, you could give and stay poor. Do I hear any amens to that one? And it doesn't mean that somehow, if that's the case, that there is a lack of blessing in your life. No, not at all. And there's many reasons for that. But anyways, this is where I want to go this morning quickly here. And I know some tried to make me promise this morning that I would only preach for 5 minutes. And I can promise you that I will promise you that I will preach for more than 5 minutes.
Amen.
But anyways, I trust that you will enjoy the message and shout along with Deacon Jones. Let it fly, preacher, even though it's going to take what to get her off the ground. Anyways, pretty cool, wasn't it? Okay, so let's look at this quickly here. Now, I'm going to say some things, but I'm going to read some texts, several texts of Scripture that are going to preach all by themselves, more than I am going to make comments outside of those texts or around those texts or from those texts. Okay, are you with me? And hopefully you have your Bibles or your device to be able to follow along. But nonetheless, I want to ask the question here as we begin talking about the first of the three, giving. And how it is, remember now, that we're putting this in the context of, this is now who I am. You see, I fit into that category of it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. See, that's where I live then. That's where I live. And so I want to ask the question this morning, if that's where I live, so that behind this message there aren't those kinds of things, but there is behind this message this question that I want to answer: why give? Simple, why give? Okay? Why give? And to come up, with the answer or saying, well, the reason that I give is because. And I have a couple of becauses. Why? Because, why, because, why, because, that I want to look at. And then we'll get into some scriptures here. So why? Well, because first of all, I give because God's love has touched my life unlike any other love has touched me. And there is something about that love that provokes me, that is an unstoppable force. When I fell in love with Sandra, there was an unstoppable force within me to always be with her. Okay? And being with her, I always wanted to, I was like this thing of giving her something, right? And it wasn't enough, though I felt that it would be enough, that, well, she has my present, and I'm going to give her the present of myself. But it would always be, a flower. I mean, we were poor students, and so I would go to the, go to the florist shop downtown Lima, New York. We went to college and to Bible school, and there was a florist there, and I don't know what they were. For 59 cents, you could buy a single rose. I don't think she has some of the petals yet that she, whatever it is that they do and put them in, you know, their Bibles or books, whatever. And anyways, and to give. And you know that feeling. How it is that you feel love towards someone and you want to walk. You want to give. We love our kids and we want to give. Well, people want to give. And there's no kind of, you know, hesitation or any kind of, you know, stinginess. And, oh, I want to give. And, boy, if I had more, I'd give more, is usually the feeling. And we see that about love, especially God's love, that now touches our hearts, that turns us into that kind of person that removes us, or I should say reverses the curse of selfishness, where my life revolves around the world of me, myself, and I, right? My three best friends. And you know the famous saying, after me, you come first. And so, no, that curse is reversed in the love of God that has touched our heart so that we become generous people. That we become the kind of people that, you know, in honor, the scripture says, preferring one another. No, you go ahead. Type of deal here. And where there is this motivation now in my life of generosity. And that generosity touches my pocketbook so that I give money. There it is. It does. We know this about God and his great giving, if you think about it. The verse of scripture that we all know very well, if you haven't read it in your Bible, certainly you've seen it on a placard being held up at your favorite team's football game. What? John 3:16, right? Which says, for God did what?
So
love that he what? Gave. There you have it. God so loved that he gave. And when he gave, and this is another ingredient that goes in to the kind of giving that his love fills our hearts with now. When God gave, he gave us his best. He gave us his son. And that's the love that touches our heart. So that, why give? Well, I give because the love of God has touched my heart, and I can't help it now. It is second nature to me. When I first became a Christian, and I found Christ, I was out on the streets. I was, in those days, I was a hippie, you know, hippie freak, you know, drug dealing, you know, down and outer, looking for the next high, okay? And I got saved. You know, street evangelist was preaching the gospel, and something hit me. I went to church where the evangelist was preaching. I responded to the message, gave my life to Christ. No one had to tell me. No one had to tell me a number of things. First of all, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to. And for me, prior to that, church was, you got to be kidding me. I mean, church for me before that was, you know, I grew up as a bad Catholic boy. And my family tried to get me to go to church. I can remember as a kid waking up. I'm going to early mass, Ma, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. So I'd get up. I'd get my, this is no joke, I'd get my church clothes out in those days. You know, church clothes, and I'd string them around the floor like a kid would do if he just came home from school or from church, and, you know, there they are. So, but I wouldn't go to church. I just made it look like I went and came home, and there's his church clothes. My mother would come around and say, oh, there's his church clothes on the floor. Well, good, he went to church today, you know. But then I started going to church. And also, no one had to tell me that I had to start giving. No one. That I started giving money. I had a job as a kid, got a job. And did this and that. Well, back in those days, what was minimum wage? $1.85, I think it was. Son of a gun. Wow. That's terrible. $1.85. And, you know, paycheck at the end of the week, whatever. No one had to tell me. to give. Further understanding came, but again, there was this intuitiveness within me. Wow, God has touched my life. He's come into my life. I want to give. And it was motivated by, wow, I found God. I found Christ. This love has touched my heart, and now I want to give. A cycle of selfishness was broken in my life by his love that touched it. Now that's powerful. So why? Because. Why? Because of love. Why? Because of love. A generosity now touches, has touched my life, and it touches all of our lives. It's there. If you know Christ, it's there, and it's second nature to you. Okay? The next reason why, because, is because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Jesus Christ is not just my best buddy. He certainly is my best buddy. He certainly is my best friend. But I have to be careful because he is that, but he's also the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Lord and Master, and I submit my life to him, and I understand from Scripture, as it says, if you love me, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. And the idea is, because I love you, I will obey you. If Jesus Christ is my Lord, then I will obey him. And we see in particular part of the, you know, some of the obedience that I give to him is in this area of giving. We'll see this in a minute. So that I say, Jesus, because you're my Lord and I love you, I want to be a generous person. I want to respond to that lordship, your lordship. I want to honor that lordship that you have of my life, your God. This is how you made me. This is how you created me. You know best. And I want to honor that in my life, and I do so, I want to do so by giving. By giving. There's a lot of reasons for that. Because, Sandra, give me, oh, she did. This is rare. I'm not joking. I open this up. Mike, you feel my pain? No, you. But I open this up, and usually it's like this. And that's no joke. It's like, this morning, I'm happy. Because I got 20 bucks there. But you see, what does this 20 bucks mean? What does it represent? Well, it represents my life that I have invested working in so many other ways to earn this. So in a lot of ways, this represents me in my life. So that when I give it, I am giving part of myself. See, I'm saying by this giving, see, that Lord, I'm responding to you. Here's my life. This is acknowledgement that there's something bigger in life that I need to have control of my life. That's you. And I recognize that. Here's my life. It is surrendered to you. That's what this represents when I give the Lordship of Christ. So why? Because he is Lord. And you mean to say that if I live otherwise, that I am not acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord? Yes. Of my life, anyway. Yes. So, okay. Everybody smile. Good. Here's the last one. Why? Because. Why? Because when we give, it's like loaning. It's like making a loan to God. That's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thought. How do I mean that? It's like when I give, I am investing money in God's bank. Okay? I'm lending, making an investment in his bank. I'm becoming an investment in the bank of heaven. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal about that. When we give, okay, we are putting money in God's bank. That he multiplies, turns it around, and returns it back to us. Wow. So I put in, he makes it more, turns it around, gives it back.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. So why? Because. Why? Because when I give, I'm making a loan, and that loan is returning to me with interest. God's interest. He's multiplying it, turning it around, and giving it back to me in needs that I have. There are times that I have said to the Lord, Lord, you know, Sandra and I, we have this particular need. I would like to draw on, I'd like to put a demand upon. I'm running out a, what do they call that? A withdrawal slip. Right now, withdraw. I'm asking you, we need X amount of dollars, whatever. Would you please provide this? With the full assurance in my heart, and you know what? I love the Lord. I've been a generous person. He's Lord of my life, and I've been given. And I know that I've been making loans to the treasury of heaven, that there is something there that he's been able to make, turn in, you know, provide interest for, to multiply and turn back around to give to me. Ooh, has it happened? I mean, I can tell you stories. I can tell you stories. And I won't, because I'm under, I got to stay within my 5 minutes. And so that's why, because. Okay, now let me just take you real quickly here on a tour. Okay, this is where I want to begin. 2 Corinthians, please come with me, at least listen fast, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, these are all scriptures that have to do with the three things, the why, because's that I just said, but they fit into that context, okay? And they all have to do with giving. Here's the first. He says, he's talking about giving in this, Paul is, and he says, and he's talking about, he's saying to them, these Christians here, he's saying to them, listen, he says, you need to make a gift of money. So I want you to be prepared to give. And then he explains to them why they need to be giving. Right? Why? Because. And somewhat of the same thing that I just did, and I'm going to use his words now to explain some of it. He says, then it will be ready as a generous gift. Stop. Notice, generosity again. This is what we're after. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the end of verse 5. 2 Corinthians 9, the end of verse 5. Generosity. So that that's the idea here of generosity. Okay? He said, now remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. If you plant one seed, what kind of harvest is that one seed going to give you? A one seed harvest. Duh. Right? And that's what he's saying here. If you sow sparingly, just a little bit, what are you going to get back? What are you going to get back? A little bit. But he says, whoever sows, here's the word again, generously, will also what? Reap generously. He says, each person should give what he has decided in his heart. I love this. Not reluctantly, I gotta give. Oh, they're gonna pass the plates. They're gonna talk about giving. I don't think I'll show up then. You see, more people are probably apt not to show up talking about giving than they are suffering, than we are really when we talk about suffering. Anyway. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, that whole attitude goes across the board to everything. You know? Do you ever work with a sad sack? You know, a person who just, they got a cloud around them. It's like, you can't do anything right. No one does anything right. The government doesn't do anything right. Your car doesn't work right. Your tire doesn't go around right. I got to give. God's asking for money. God says, if that's your attitude, keep it. Because he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need it. He said, God loves what? A cheerful giver. Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty cool. He says, and God, this is what I love now. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Notice the abundance, abound to you. So that as you give, he's going to take it, multiply it, and dump load it back on you. Okay, that's it. Acts 20, we read Luke 6:38. Going right in line with this, you know the scripture here in Luke very well. Luke 6:38. Again, he's talking about giving. And what he says here is this. In Luke 6:38, he says, give what? He says, give, and it will what? Be given back to you. Here it is. Why? Now, you see, you got to follow this. Interpreting between the lines. Don't give and get nothing. Right? Good. That was a pregnant pause. I wanted you really to get the message. But he says, give, and what? It will be given to you. Good. Now, watch this now. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, will it be given to you? The idea is, you know, going with a basket of fruit or vegetables or grain, and you fill it up. You know, you go to the grocery store, you take a bag of potato chips, all of the sins that I'm feeling this morning, you know, off the shelf, right? And it's like, what? There's that, the bag is what? That many potato chips, that much air, right? You know what I'm saying? After what was shaken down. So the idea here is that after that happens, God, if you give, God will give to you in such a way where after the potato chips are shaken down, whatever, he then puts in that much more, to which seals it up where it's really full. That's the idea. Okay? Give it, it shall be given unto you. Some of you heard of the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I like a little poem that he uses in the book. He says, a man there was, and they called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pretty cool. And then Proverbs 3. Now, Proverbs 3 is one of those passages of Scripture. It's all I'm doing now. I'm just going to finish up by reading a couple of Scriptures, giving them out to you. You can look at them later. Allow these to become the context in which you understand giving for your own life. Is that cool? Allow these to be the context in which you allow giving to be your own life. Remember, we're talking about the what kind of life? The blessed life. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. If I can find Proverbs chapter 3, I'll be with you in a moment. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. This is one of those passages of Scripture that I would call a life passage, a life verse, life verses. In other words, here's a passage of Scripture that really helps forms our living. You know, he says in verse 5, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord. You've heard this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. For fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Wow. Imagine that. How health is related to living right before God. Imagine that. That's what it's saying. That's why this is one of my life verses. Notice the next verse, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Or I think Peterson says, honor the Lord with everything you have, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be, you know, it's like, with the first fruits. You know, it's not like, well, we got to take care of this. We got to have that. I would like to buy this. I want that. And then whatever's left over, I'll see about giving it to God. You know, leftovers. No, he says, be sure it's not the leftovers that you're giving to God. The first fruits, the first I'm giving. He says, and if you do this, you'll be honoring God. Notice what he says will happen. I love this. He says, your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, the idea here is that the same thing of giving shall be given unto you. He will super abundantly bless your life. He will give. There'll be so much you won't be able to contain. There it is right there. Proverbs 3. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says this. And what I want to use this scripture for is this, to say to us, when Jesus died on the cross, we readily recognize and confess. We know, we say it without even thinking. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sins. And absolutely, yes, he did. But he doesn't stop there. Because if he stopped there, it'd be like, you know, picking the apples off the apple tree, thinking that next season there's going to be no more apples. What's going to happen next season? Yeah, more apples. Why? It's an apple tree. And so more than just dealing with our sins when he died on the cross, he dealt with me. So it says here in this verse, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, that when he died that we should walk no longer live for ourselves. Why? He's taken me, myself, and I out of the picture. That we should no longer, and this is God's original intention. Well, God created you, when he created me, he did not create me, he did not make me, that I should live for me. It's a lonely, dull, empty life to live for me. He made us that we should live for him and others. That's fullness. He says when he died on the cross, he not only died for my sins, that's big, that's major, but he died that I should no longer live for me, but I should live for him and his purposes. That's major. That's how God created you. And so what that does now in the aspect, in the context of giving in which we're speaking, is that it makes me, it has turned me into a generous, not a selfish person. I want to give. I want to give. Here's the last verse of scripture. And this is going to ding your bell. Malachi. It's the last chapter. It's the last book of the Old Testament. So just go to the last book. It's or Malachi, if you're from us. If you're Siciliano, it's Malachi. Yay. Kumbani Malachi. It's Malachi. And it's chapter 3. And I want to read this here, what he says to us about the importance of giving. The importance of being that, of working on in our lives, of letting it shine from our lives, of following through on the second nature of giving in my life. Really cool. But somewhat hard to swallow this pill. He says, you're asking how do you rob God? Now, the charge that was being brought against these followers of God was that they were reneging on their promise to give, and they were living contrary to who their true identity. Their true identity was, or is, that they should be giving to God. And they had fallen back into the trap of their old nature and were living for themselves. There's a centrifugal force there, living for themselves. Jesus breaks it, though, and we have to hear this, however. So he says, they were saying, how are we robbing you, God? We're robbing you, God? And he says to them, look at it says here. He says, yes, you're robbing me and by not paying your tithes and offerings. And he goes on to say, because of that, you are putting the kibosh on living a blessed life. Or he says, you're under a curse. The whole nation of you, all of you, because you're robbing me. And he says, bring the whole tithe into the church, into God's temple, into the storehouse. He says that there may be food in my house. And then he says this, test me. He says, prove me. He says, go ahead, start doing this. And if you tithe, if you start giving offerings, he says, you do it, you test me and see if you will lack anything in your life by doing this. In fact, you will see your life has gotten better. That's what he says here. He says, test me. He says, and see if I won't. I love this. He says, throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour you out so much a blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I'll tell you what, I want to have a blessed life like that. There's so much blessing in my life. There's, you know what, God? You got to stop because there's not enough room to store the blessing. He says, okay, really, if you want to do that, he says, follow through on being a good giver. You be a good giver and I'll be a good provider. Fair enough. He says, I like this part, now watch. I will prevent mechanical problems from taking away your paycheck when your car breaks down. And there goes your money. I will prevent the wash machine from breaking. It'll last you a long time. You won't go on spending needlessly. You ever feel like that? I bring my paycheck home, and it's like I, you know, put it in the bank or the accountant, and it's like it had leaks. Where'd it go? What happened to it? Who took it? Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes that's because there's a devourer. He says, if you give, he says, I will prevent that from happening. He says it right there. He says, I'll prevent that from happening. Your fields will be fruitful. He said, and everyone will call you what? Blessed. You'll have a blessed life. There it is. The blessed life. And I'm done. Let's stand together in his presence. Whew. I wish I could talk faster before we get done. So there's a lot there to swallow, isn't there? Right? There's a lot there to swallow. My hope is that you will be blessed by God. That's what I want. Be blessed. Live the blessed life. Well, you want God to provide for you? Be a giver. Give to him. Father, in Jesus' name, I submit this word to you. Now, Lord, I pray a rich blessing upon your people, upon all of us. God, you see what we got ahead of us this week. And I pray that you help us, God, to have the strength to hammer it out. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hey, there are goodies downstairs.